Welcome back to our last segment covering the Climate and Community Protection Act public hearing, which took place on February 12th. 34 of the 38 witnesses who testified at the hearing spoke in support of climate legislation, and many asked that the bill be expanded to address even more methods of carbon reduction and climate mitigation than it does as written. There were many passionate testimonies. At one point, a witness held a photo of their young child and tearfully asked the committee what kind of world the children of today will inherit. Many witnesses overlapped in their recommendations. We've included several in this segment, starting with the direct testimony of a member of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
As I mentioned, my name is Matthias Vuy. I'm a professor and climate scientist in the Department of Atmospheric and Environmental Sciences at the University of Albany, and I'm a member of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC. Our climate is changing, and this change is driven by increasing concentrations of greenhouse gases in our atmosphere, gases that are emitted first and foremost through burning of fossil fuels. The evidence for this is unequivocal, as stated by all major national and international organizations, including the IPCC. As a result of our emissions, our planet is warming both in the ocean and in the air. The last 5 years have been the five warmest years since record-keeping began in the 19th century. 18 out of the 19 last warmest years have occurred since 2001. In New York State, perhaps the most significant impact from a changing climate we are already seeing is the clear increase in intense storms. Heavy precipitation events have increased in frequency in the Northeast more than in any other region in the United States. It is difficult to attribute a single event, such as Hurricane Sandy or Hurricane Irene, to climate change. But these storms now form an environment that is very different from what it was 50 or 100 years ago. The oceans are warmer, adding more energy to these storms. The air is warmer, allowing it to hold more moisture, thereby making rainfall more intense. And of course, sea level is higher, thereby increasing the storm surge. In fact, sea level has been rising throughout the 20th century and is currently rising by about 3.2 millimeters every year. This rise is caused by the warming of the ocean, leading to its expansion, and the added mass due to ice melt from glaciers and ice sheets in Greenland and West Antarctica. But sea level rise is not equal everywhere, and the mid-Atlantic and New England coasts are seeing a sea level rise that is much larger than the global average. Along the coast of New York, sea level rose by about 280 millimeters during the 20th century, compared to the global average of only about 170 millimeters. We are seeing changes in ecosystems in New York State that are clearly linked to climate change. Earlier flowering and greening of plants, northward migration of species, including birds, overwintering further north, marine species moving north or towards greater depths in the ocean in search for colder waters. We have seen an increase in Lyme disease in the United States, and studies in the Northeast have linked the earlier occurrence of the first Lyme disease cases in spring to warmer spring temperatures and earlier tick activity. Lakes and rivers in New York State now freeze over later in the fall, and their ice breaks up earlier in the spring than it did 50 years ago. We have seen a decrease in spring snow cover, which, together with warmer nighttime temperatures, may threaten the economic viability of ski resorts in New York State in decades to come. All of these changes are based on biologic and physical responses in our environment to a changing climate. They are objectively observable, measurable, regardless of political viewpoints. And I will end with this statement. The CO2 concentration in our atmosphere today is higher than it has been in at least 2.4 million years at the end of the Pliocene, long before humans walked this planet. We are increasing this concentration steadily year by year, thereby rapidly increasing our Earth's temperature. We have started an experiment with our planet without considering what the impacts will be and without realizing that some of these impacts will be with us for centuries or millennia. Whether we like it or not, we now have little choice but to try to mitigate climate change and at the same time adapt to its impacts.
I am here on behalf of Audubon New York. In the absence of federal action, we are really heartened by New York State's leadership in addressing climate change with the urgency that it really deserves. Developing a successful mitigation strategy will require us to examine every sector of our economy to see where we can reduce, neutralize, or eliminate carbon emissions. But of equal importance is going to be looking where we can offset those emissions through natural climate solutions such as carbon sequestration. these offsets must be included in New York State's strategy to combat climate change. And we are fortunate in that these strategies have a two-for-one benefit. They also have the added benefit of creating habitat for wildlife. Protecting and restoring coastlines, especially salt marshes and other wetlands around Long Island, will increase climate resiliency and support vulnerable populations of coastal birds. The natural processes that protect those communities have degraded over the years. The sand and sediment is not being replenished, and instead that's being replaced by hard infrastructure. We would strongly encourage the state, as it directs the Department of Environmental Conservation through the Climate and Community Protection Act, to consider green infrastructure as part of its response to climate change.
So we have Kevin Schlad.
Any serious effort to fight climate change will include a dedicated carbon sequestration program.
My name's Constantine. Since 1999, I've worked for NYSERDA. It's extremely difficult to make substantive changes. A real challenge here is to focus on the elimination of pure waste while preserving lifestyle choices.
My name is Susan Keister. I'm the president of Keister Consulting, Inc., a forestry and environmental resource management consulting firm. Forests are an important part. We feel that that's not really been addressed completely in the legislation as presented. Cost of owning land is a big problem. So in my business, I see people not doing sustainable practices in forestry because of the tax bill that comes along, and they have to cut in order to pay their taxes. So things that could happen at the legislative level would be to work to create markets for low-grade woods so that people can afford to stay in their properties through the marketplace, or provide government subsidies and grants and programs to help get that forest management work done, also helping the rural landowner stay on the farm, not subdivide it into smaller parcels that we can't.
My name is Catherine Natto. I'm the deputy director at Catskill Mountain Keeper. With warmer winters, we're seeing the spread of invasive species that could decimate the forest and threaten the watershed. We see more variable and higher temperatures that are threatening vegetable growth, and climate change may threaten the availability and price of livestock feed.
So my name's Liz Moran. I'm the Environmental Policy Director for NYPIRG, the New York Public Interest Research Group. New York State's seen 2 degrees average warming since 1970, 4 degrees for winter, and there are environmental justice impacts that we're experiencing right now. Increased precipitation is leading to a lot of sewage overflows in our water bodies. Billions of gallons of sewage annually are discharged into our waterways, and we don't talk about it this way that often, but climate change is a public health crisis. As written, there may not be new action on climate until 2025, so we have a specific proposal to have a fast-track panel, which would which could remedy this. It can convene shortly after enactment. It could have recommendations that would take place over the next 5 years. At the end of the day, we've advanced technology tremendously just in the past year. We can't wait for technology to be perfect. We need action as urgently as possible. And I think that's where everyone agrees today, that climate change requires urgent action. But we need to make sure that this legislation reflects that urgency.
Changes that we can make. Looking to where the governor is and looking at what this bill is, we need to be more ambitious. We need to look at goals. How can we get 1 million households across New York to have solar on their roofs? How can we get 100,000 acres of solar farms? Those are some of the ambitious targets we need to look at. We need to broaden beyond just the energy sector to look at residential and commercial buildings, to look at transportation. We need to look at an array of energy efficiency standards. There's a lot of conservation goals that could be achieved, but we need to find a way that the wasteful carbon activities in the state are made to pay for the solutions at hand.
My name's Constantine. Since 1999, I've worked for NYSERDA. The easiest way to solve this entire issue is to have the gas and electric utilities use EPA benchmarking to create a sliding utility rate bias that rewards efficient facilities and penalizes poor performers.
My name is Daniel Gotti. I'm a senior transportation analyst at the Union of Concerned Scientists. So, you know, we need to be doing a lot more on vehicle electrification to make these vehicles affordable for more people, to make these vehicles affordable for the poor and for poor transit agencies as well, right, to be able to electrify as much of our transportation system as quickly as we can. If you want to operationalize a limit on climate emissions, honestly, here's how you do it. You set a cap. You have that cap decline every year. You require polluters to purchase allowances under that cap because you limit the number of allowances available. You limit the amount of emissions that are acceptable in the state. And as a result, you generate a whole bunch of money from these allowance sales that you can then use as a basis for your investments in clean transportation and clean energy technologies that are ultimately going to save consumers money.
We can't afford to kick this can down the road. The only thing stopping us is political will.
These 34 witnesses who testified at this hearing in favor of climate legislation asked that the committee broaden the scope of the CCPA to include many other kinds of solutions, including market-based emission regulations and biomass energy solutions. An overarching theme was sustainable land management, solutions like helping landowners afford to keep their parcels intact to prevent land from becoming subdivided, and giving landowners resources to sustainably manage their forests are just a couple of ways the bill could go further to sequester carbon. The bottom line is this: if we want to address climate change, legislators need to have the political backbone. The public support is there. If you have an idea, a response to these testimonies, or you want to show your support for or against this bill, contact your senator and assembly person. The Senate allows 120 days from the hearing for the submission of public comment, and you can read the bill in full at nysenate.gov. For Hudson Mohawk Magazine, I'm Alexis Goldsmith.